USNA sources are saying the Bull Rush and its captain, Leo Valentine, disappeared sometime last week.
What is up, everybody? It's your favorite famous amount of space, Greg Paul. Hey, y'all hear about the Bull Rush? Did the USNA just send a group of fine soldiers to their death? I'm here with the mother of a crew member. Hey, how you doing, ma'am?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
That's great. Cool. Hey, how do you feel about your daughter being more than likely dead?
If you can't see that the RLA is behind this attack, you're blind. Attacking one of our ships deserves immediate repercussions. If those Saturn boys want to attack one of our ships, then, well, we should bomb them back into the Stone Age.
Folks, you think an obscure USNA cargo ship just disappears on its own? Wrong! That ship had something big on it. My guess is the captain was about to blab his mouth, and our government made the problem just disappear. I bet you that Saturn is just a false flag. What do you think? West of the belt, you're on the air.
A spokeswoman for the USNA gave a briefing on the disappearance of the Bull Rush. As of today, the USNA Bull Rush is officially declared as missing. The last known communication from the vessel was around 1300 hours last Tuesday. The USNA is launching a full investigation into the matter and sending the USNA Natravnin to the last known location of the Bull Rush to begin the search.
I thought the captain had gone crazy. Thought he had discovered a golden planet or something.
Captain Leo Vangino, I never heard of him.
My brother knew Leo. Big guy, crazy hair. Think he had a tattoo of a giraffe or something.
Leo Valentine? That money-sucking, dumb moth rubber couldn't find the tooth-nicking wall on a fat mouth leech-swigging cheese wheel!
Who is Leo Valentine? And what happened to the Bull Rush? We'll discuss this and more next time on...
8 months ago, on January 6th, 2110, Captain Leonardo Valentine was assigned to transport supplies to a military facility on Proteus. 2 weeks ago, a distress signal from Captain Valentine's ship, the USNA Bull Rush, was picked up by a research colony on Europa. On their way to investigate, the signal disappeared. 3 days ago, on August 27th, 2110, the military officially declared Captain Valentine and the crew of the Bull Rush as missing. As expected, the media exploded with theories, conspiracies, and exaggerated dramatizations of the disappearance. My name is Vincent Winters, and I have been hired by the Valentine family to find out what happened to Captain Leo Valentine and his crew.
Captain's Log, Number 1. Earth Date, February 18th, 2103. This is Captain Leonardo... Dang it. Alright, let's try this again. Maybe I can edit it out later. Captain's Log, Number 1. Earth Date, February 18th, 2103. This is Captain Leonardo Valentine of the cargo ship Moonraker. Today is the first day that I am captain after the previous Captain James Primus was promoted. I have worked hard to get here and I'm excited to continue my service as the leader of this vessel. Whew, holy crap, it's hard to believe that this is actually happening. Captain Leo Valentine. Oh geez, I'm not sure if I'll ever get used to that. I guess I should report today's events? Not much. There was a little ceremony where I was given my rank of captain. Dad and Clara were there, and Mom showed up after the ceremony. And I got to talk with Primus before he left, so... And then after that, I moved my stuff into the captain's quarters. And now here we are. I guess that's it. So I'll sign off. I'll talk to you later. Captain out.
That was the first log of Captain Leonardo Valentine from 7 years ago. A lot has changed since that first recording, the most obvious being his disappearance. Unfortunately, the military has remained fairly quiet about any evidence, and the crew who responded to the distress signal are not open for interviews at the moment. So, to start this investigation, I felt like we need to get the whole story, starting with his family. Captain Valentine's father, Brock, and younger sister, Clara, allowed me to record my first interview with them.
May I come in, sir?
Hi, come on in. Thanks. You can take a seat right over there.
Brock Valentine, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Really, though, we're extremely grateful that you're on the case. Thanks again for taking the job. It means a lot to us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anything I can do to help.
I visited Brock and Clara in their home in Baltimore City on Earth. Brock is one of the head engineers for the Department of Interplanetary Research. He is a very talkative man with large glasses and a well-trimmed beard. Clara was wearing sweatpants and a I Heart Pluto t-shirt. She explained that she works for a research team developing plant species for various terraforming colonies.
Leo used to call me a super botanist.
Really?
Yeah, we have fun.
We made small talk for a few minutes before I started asking more about Leo.
Could you start perhaps by explaining what Leo's initial reaction was to being promoted to captain?
Where do I start? Maybe I'll reel it back a little bit. He was always a hard worker and always wanted to be a captain in Central Command. By the time he got in the academy as a young lad, that fire and drive only seemed to get bigger. So much so that it inflated his head a little bit.
A little? Remember his rivalry with Dimitri? And how mad he would be when he came home? Wow. He used to be so petty. Remember?
Yeah. He was never very mature. But he had the smarts and the know-how, and he got things done. And that's what really advanced him through school and up to his job on Moonraker. Right, that's what it was. Really knowledgeable about the solar system, too. Had the map of the place understood like the back of his hand. It was a no-brainer that they promoted him. He was so happy. And when he learned that his mother had nothing to do with his promotion, it sent him over the moon, as it were.
Leo's mother is Vice Admiral Marcia Valentine, a prominent leader in Central Command. Understandably, she was unable to meet at the time of the first meeting.
What do you mean by his mother had nothing to do with it?
Leo's always been an independent guy. As much as he likes wearing the family name and crest, he doesn't want anybody to think he has cheesed his way to the top with it. He wanted everyone to know that was his hard work, and I think generally people understood that. That night he went out and spent a bunch of money at the arcade with some of the crew from the Moonraker. It was all thanks to James that Leo was promoted to captain of the Moonraker. Sent a great recommendation, apparently.
James?
James Primus. He was the captain of the ship at the time. I believe he was promoted to defense cruiser after Leo took over. Anything to add, Clara?
Nope. I just remember that he came back way late and was just super excited about the promotion, but that was it.
I see. Do either of you think he was ready for the promotion?
You know, I'd like to say that I thought he was ready, but as I mentioned earlier, he had this big rivalry and was sort of an airhead socially. I knew he was a smart kid, but it seemed like such a big leap. However, it did seem to grow on him, and I think he kind of grew into the role. I don't know, Dad. What did you think?
Well, your observation is pretty astute. I would have never pegged him to be a captain at his age. 28 isn't the youngest, but for my son, it did seem pretty young. When Leo got moved to the Bull Rush, I think something happened where he really matured, and the true mantra of a captain really took form. almost as if the Moonraker was a stepping stone for his masculinity.
With both of your answers, I'd almost think that it would have been too wild for him to become captain at all. Perhaps you could elaborate a little more on why you think it is that he got promoted at such a young age.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I really think something that helped were the recommendations from his peers, but especially the one from James. He being quite the respected individual. And, you know, Leo, was smart and determined. Maybe the higher-ups wanted to see what would happen if they let him become captain? At any rate, it's hard to say. I wasn't around too often at the house, though arguably much more than Marsh, because of an engineering project that took a wrong turn.
Understandable.
You know, since I was gone so much while Leo was at the academy, you might learn more by talking to some of his peers.
Do you have a list of them?
I know a few.
After talking about Captain Valentine's academy friends, I finally decided to ask about their current situation.
So, how are you doing with Leo's disappearance right now?
It's a bit scary. We just talked a few weeks ago and everything seemed fine. He was on his way to Proteus and he seemed to be liking the ship and the crew. Things were going well between him and Sammy.
Samantha Apollo, I later learned, was Leo's girlfriend and a fellow crew member.
Was there anything that stood out to you about the conversation?
Not really.
He did seem a bit more nervous. He's done long trips before, but not very often. On top of that, he was still getting used to the new crew.
The two still seemed to be dealing with the circumstances, but they both sounded hopeful. We talked a little more, but I did not want to overstay my welcome, so I excused myself. I spent the rest of the evening setting up appointments with Captain Mikilov and Leo's arcade buddies, and then reviewed all the statements that the military had released. I don't have much to go off of at the moment, so I hope that meeting with the people who had more frequent contact with Captain Valentine might shed some more light on who he was and where he might be.
Thank you for listening to episode 1 of Vanishing Point, The Disappearance. Vincent Winters and Greg Paul were played by Trevor Austin. Captain Leo Valentine and the distressed mother were played by Tanner Perks. Brock Valentine was played by Griffin Dubonovich. Clara Valentine was played by Faith Whiting. The news reporter was played by Benjamin Howell. The Warhawk was played by Stephen Whiting. The conspirator was played by Peter Alstrom. Additional voices were provided by Lexi Roberts and Don Evans. Vanishing Point is a production of Aggie Radio Theater. This episode was written by Tanner Perks, Don Evans, and Julian Kessel, and directed by Tanner Perks, with sound design and editing by Don Evans. Aggie Radio Theater broadcasts shows weekday mornings at 8:30 on FM 92.3 KBLU. Future episodes of Vanishing Point or our other radio shows can be found online at radio.usu.edu. Thank you.
Make you love.
Oh, sorry. Captain, that's his really bad pickup line that never works.
My name is Captain Mikilov. I'll make you love of something. I'm sorry to the voice editor, which is probably you, right? You guys? At least you have another laugh in the middle of the lab, right?
No, it's good.